Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.
Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are ready for fun with Melly and Tammy. Good morning, Tammy. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm real good. I'm excited to be about doing Zephaniah and our favorite verse of Zephaniah. Soon your troubles will be over. How about that one? That's one you need to stick on the fridge, right? So I'm excited. I see you guys all over on the chat. Welcome. Good morning. I'm so glad to see you guys. And we're going to have fun. And I hope you guys have done your homework. Here's the book, End Times, Major Clues from Minor Prophets. This is the answer key. Tammy's got the study guide. So, and one of the easy ways to do it is to listen to the audio book. That's a great way to do it. This one was like 27 minutes. And so you can definitely go over to melissaredpill.com and get the audiobooks right there and listen to them. And it really will, in case you haven't had time to read the chapter, but then you can easily go and answer the questions, like doing your good homework. And did you do your homework, Tammy?
I did.
good. All right. She always does. So she's always ready for us. Everybody loves Tammy. All right. So yeah, don't forget, hit the like button right now. Hit it, everybody. And make sure you are subscribed, your bell is rung, and that you always share. Thank you so much for doing that. And so it's really exciting that we are getting to do this study. Now, Zephaniah is a little bit longer, so we're going to go kind of quickly through it. But I think that it's going to make perfectly good sense to you. And so let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump right in. Again, Lord, we praise you and we thank you that you are coming to rescue us from these evildoers. We just didn't know that we had all these evildoers around us, but you will set us free and our troubles will be over. All the things that they have done to us will be stopped, and we will have peace and a wonderful this wonderful world that you have created for us. And it's just going to be so wonderful. We're very, very thankful about the golden age that you have provided for us. You were preparing a place for us, and we just didn't realize it was on earth. We didn't realize that, but now we do. We know that you were preparing this beautiful world for us all this time since you ascended, working through your people, and that you're going to live among us, as Zephaniah told us. And even now, Zephaniah is up there and cheering us on, and I just thank you for giving Zephaniah the courage to speak this word to us and to the people in his day. And it was so dangerous, I know, for him to speak that word, just like it is for us to speak the truth in this day. And we're just made out of the same thing as Zephaniah. You have built this in us, as well as, everyone on the Freedom Force Battalion, thank you that you've created us and put us in this time for such a time as this so that we can speak the truth and also that we're going to see, as Zephaniah prophesied, this day when our troubles will be over. We ask you to bless us as we study your word. Speak to us as we make it very clear in our hearts what the truth is. We pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. So let's go. Let's do it. But for those of you who are new, if you want to catch the videos and catch up with us on not only this study, but also we did 28 videos on end times, go to the playlist right here and you can catch up with all the videos of all the major clues from Minor Prophets. Okay. Here is Zephaniah. Make it a little bit bigger and... So let's go, Tammy.
Yeah, start from the top.
Yep.
So just in case anyone still thinks that the current day Baal and Moloch worship is a conspiracy theory, read Zephaniah. The Lord made clear to us that in the last days, these criminals wouldn't just be your garden variety bad guys. They would worship Satan, literally, with rituals from the pits of hell that would curdle the stomach. Yep. So why would they do such a thing?
Right. You guys can pop in your answers into the chat. So we'll have like a regular small group study. So this is exactly what this is for. You've got this book here that you can use in a small group study in your town and or online on Zoom. And you can also have the answer key. So I've got the answer key right here. But basically the reason they would do such a thing is because of power. They know that this yields them evil power. And most people... it's like the mafia. They think of the mafia, evil power that they get, right, Miss Tammy? Was there anything else you want to add to that?
Oh well, I think what goes with the raw power too is those are the people that have accepted the demons into their body to get that raw power.
So. Right, exactly. Thank you. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that just doesn't make sense to any of us because that just, like it says, curdled the stomach, the things that they do. But they have learned from the demons how to rule the world in evil. Mm-hmm. And someone is in danger if they don't do whatever they are told to do. So why is the Lord meting out this destruction? Of course, as we read through Zephaniah, you're going to see the Lord is going to destroy them. I didn't understand, like, why was, who are these people that he's so angry with? And now we see. Now it makes sense. I wish that we had been taught that in church. I wasn't taught that, but we now realize who we're up against. These demonic forces, people who've literally, as Tammy said, taken in demons. All right. So, as I said here in this portion of the book, I used to think this was ancient history. I thought this was ancient history. I thought this was all, I'm sure that you guys felt the same way when you would read the Minor Prophets, and we really didn't, talk about them in church. We stayed pretty much in the New Testament, or maybe in, Genesis or something, but we really did not ever, in my church growing up, we did not ever read any of the Minor Prophets, except for maybe a little verse here or a little verse there. We never, went through the whole book, and I just thought it was, it's ancient history, and it really doesn't pertain to us, and now we realize that there was an ancient fulfillment, and there's a dual fulfillment in this day of end time. So, what was Zephaniah's ancient fulfillment that he was talking about, Miss Tammy?
Okay. He was prophesying to the people of Israel that soon their enemies would take them captive. Is that what we're doing?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. So take them captive into a foreign land because of their Baal worship.
Yep, yep.
We know. That did happen.
Yep, yep.
And the Lord did wipe out the Israelites from their homeland.
Right. Yep. So exactly. So we've been studying in the other books also that it's clear that, and also if you read in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, that these evil ones were installed just like the evil officials are installed today in these positions, and they lead the people to do evil. And just like you've heard, the famous one is, Ahab and Jezebel. And, Jezebel, really brought in this evil satanic rituals and all these prophets of Baal. And so she, led the people astray. And so many of the other kings did because it, you know, it worked well for them to do that. Hang on, let me see if I can tell this person. I got to call him back. Anyway, so that is what's going on with the ancient fulfillment. And as Tammy said, we know that they were sent out into captivity with the Assyrians, by the Assyrians. If you remember the Nineveh and how much Jonah hated the Ninevites because they were so ruthless and evil and had taken the people captives. He was so angry with them, and he didn't want the Lord to forgive them. And if you remember farther on, Cyrus was the king of the world, the known world. And when the people were ripped out of the land of Israel, the northern tribes, then they were allowed by Cyrus to go wherever they pleased in his kingdom. He says, I'm the king of all of it, so go wherever you please, because you'll be in my kingdom wherever you go. So that's what he did. And that's how he glad that he did that, because what it ended up happening was he scattered the tribes all over the world. This was all part of God's plan to scatter us. And so more than likely, if you have are from European descent, or even like Russian descent, or pretty much this is where the tribes went, that's your forefathers. And I won't get into all of that, but that is the ancient fulfillment. And if you want to read the book Missing Links, Discovered in Assyrian Tablets, it shows how you can trace the tribes as they moved along. So this is the ancient fulfillment that they, because of the evil, they were being cast out. All right, but now what is Zephaniah's end times fulfillment, Miss Tammy?
Okay, well, it's end time fulfillment. You mean to read?
Yes.
Okay, no, wait a minute here. So let's read, okay. Okay, the verse, Zephaniah 1.
Well, question number 4.
I was like, where did I go?
Okay, the end times fulfillment.
I got ahead of myself. The great day when the Lord will wipe out the beast and false prophets from the earth.
Right. That is, so as we go through and as we're reading, you kind of have to think of it in two different ways. The first way is where the people are being cast out because of their evil Baal worship. And the Lord was going to restore them. That's our forefathers. They were cast out because of their evil. But the end times fulfillment of this, and it's clear as we read through, you're going to see that this is clearly not just for the ancient history, 2,500 years ago. This is for fulfillment now. The ultimate fulfillment was to cast these people out, the beast and the false prophet out completely forever. Okay, so it's about the end times fulfillment is casting them out of the earth. All right, so now we're going to read Zephaniah. Yeah, and so it's going to make sense as we go through, okay? All right, so question number 5.
When the Lord says he will sweep away everything from the face of the earth in verse 2, how does he clarify who he's talking about in Zephaniah 1:3? So Yahweh's word, which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Hosea, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, I will utterly sweep away everything from the surface of the earth, says Yahweh. I will sweep away man and animal. I will sweep away the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, and the heaps of rubble with the wicked. I will cut off man from the surface of the earth, says Yahweh.
All right. It sounds like if you just read it quickly, you think, okay, the Lord is going to destroy humanity like he did with Noah. He's going to just, it says it, right? I'll sweep away man and animals, birds of the sky, fish of the sea, the heaps of rubble with the wicked. I will cut off man from the surface of the earth. So it sounds like he's going to just wipe everything away. But that's not what he is saying. He's saying and the heaps of rubble with the wicked. So it's he's talking about the wicked. And to be honest, I'm not as crazy about that version. That it's not as super clear in that version. So sometimes you do need to go to a different version to read it. So let's just go to Zephaniah and read it in another version, just so we can make it clear. Okay, so this one is, we're doing the World English Bible because that is a public domain version. And just like I've said many times, King James, I love, it's a public domain version, but sometimes it's a little bit flowery and a little bit complicated. So I really do like the NLT version because it is super, super easy to follow. So here it says, I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. Again, that sounds like everything, right? But keep reading. This is why it's so important to read carefully as you're reading God's word. I will sweep away people and animals alike. I will sweep away the birds of the sky and the fish in the sea. I'll reduce the wicked to heaps of rubble. Okay? That's what he's talking about. The focus is on, and as we go through, it'll be very clear as we go through, but it's clear that he is removing the evildoers. He's not, I will say that during the ancient fulfillment, the good people had to be cast out with the bad. They were all cast out. And we see the ancient fulfillment, the reason the Lord did this was because we had to be scattered all around, because if you're in one clump, in one small group, they will destroy you, okay? And so that's why it was very important for the Lord to disperse. You see about the dispersion or the scattered tribes, and that is why he did that. And in verse 4 it says, I will crush Judah and Jerusalem with my fist and destroy every trace of their Baal worship. That's his point, not to destroy people, but destroy anyone who's doing Baal worship and to eradicate that from the earth. Does that make sense, everybody? Does that make sense? Hopefully that is clear as a bell now. All right, so now let's go ahead and read number 6.
In Zephaniah 1, 4 through 9, clearly the Lord is talking about the Satan Moloch worshipers at the time. How is he also talking about how this judgment of God applies to the Satan Moloch worshipers of our day? I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, the name of the idolatrous and pagan priest. Those who worship the army of the sky on the housetops, those who worship and swear by Yahweh and also swear by Moloch, those who have turned back from following Yahweh, and those who haven't sought Yahweh nor inquired after him. Be silent at the presence of the Lord Yahweh, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. For Yahweh has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. It will happen in the day of Yahweh's sacrifice that I will punish the princes, the king's son, and all those who are clothed with foreign clothing. In that day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's house with violence and deceit.
Yes. All right. So I hope that makes it clear as you go on, because this is what a lot of my problem with the explanation of some of these verses is that someone doesn't read the entire passage. They don't read it in context. They pull a verse out here or there, and so you can make it say anything you want to say. Okay, we've seen that on social media. Someone will have an hour-long speech, and then someone will just pull out just one little sentence and take it completely out of context. And so this is the same thing that can happen when you're reading some of these complex passages in the Bible, specifically in Zephaniah. Okay, but here it's talking about these people. He says, I'm going to cut off this remnant of Baal from this place. And not only from the northern tribes of Israel back 2,500 years ago, but from the entire world. That's the fulfillment in our day. He's going to remove root and branch of this Baal worship. Okay, and again, many of you are probably like me, and all the Moloch worship, all this evil Satan worship, you're like me, that you thought this had been cut off years and years and years ago, and now we realize that that's not the case, but the Lord will do it. Okay, he didn't, for his own reasons, he didn't let us know, because we would have tried to fight them if we had known before that this was going on. All right, anything else about that question? Did we answer that one clearly enough? I think that's that. I think we answered that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because it does look, if you read, if you just, like you said, take it out of context, it says those who have worshipped and swear by Yahweh. That's when people, if they only take that sentence, that's where they get really scared.
right. Okay. That, like, okay, is the Lord angry with me? Because I, right. And the point with them is, if you notice here, let me see if they in verse 5, those who worship the army of the sky on the housetops and those who worship and swear by Yahweh and also swear by Malcolm. So they're doing both. Right? You cannot worship the Lord and worship Satan. Just, you know, they were trying to have, you know, have it both ways. And the Lord said, no, you can't do that. So this, and again, remember always, it's, you know, they tried to make us feel that we were the guilty ones. We were the evil ones. And that's not the case. We mess up, we make mistakes, but we are not, we don't worship Satan. Humanity, by and large, doesn't worship Satan. It's just this group. And so this is, who it's clearly talking about. All right. Yes. I thank you for making that, bringing that point out, Miss Tammy. All right. So the number 7, what did the evil ones believe about their power and God? So you read for us now Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 10 through 12.
In that day, says Yahweh, there will be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter, and a great crashing from the hills. Well, you inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the people of Canaan are undone. All those who were loaded with silver are cut off. It will happen at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are settled on their dregs, who say in their heart, Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil.
Right. They're like, he's not going to touch us. And how many times have you heard that on social media? Nothing's going to happen to these people. They're not going to get punished. They will, there's nothing that's going to, they're untouchable. Nothing can ever touch them, right? And that's the way that they have felt. And it makes sense because they have been able to skate, except for this one little fact. The one little fact is that everyone, no matter how rich you are, how poor you are, how powerful you are, how unpowerful, whatever the opposite of unpowerful is, whoever you are, death is the great equalizer. They have all met justice. They've all had to stand before the Lord and be faced with death and the judgment. The Lord says that we all have to stand before the judgment. There's no getting around that. But they thought while they were alive, they're fooled into thinking that, oh, we're going to be kings in hell. I mean, this is really what they believe. And so they thought, okay, nothing's going to happen to us. We're untouchable. Well, they are going to find out very, very quickly that this is, they will be held to an account on earth, not just in after they die. All right, so now number 8. Let's read Zephaniah 1:13 through 16. Even though what the Lord is talking about was completed in the ancient fulfillments in 720 AD, how do these passages have their ultimate fulfillment in these end times for the bad guys? Go ahead, Miss Tammy.
Okay, their wealth will become a plunder and their houses a desolation. Yes, they will build houses, but won't inhabit them. They will plant vineyards, but won't drink their wine. The great day of Yahweh is near. It is near and hurries greatly. The voice of the day of Yahweh, the mighty man, cries there bitterly. That day is the day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of the trumpet, an alarm against the fortified cities and against the high battlements.
Right. Can't improve on that. Their wealth will become a plunder. In other words, taken from them. Taken from them. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Everything will be plundered. We just did one. We did Nahum already. Loot the silver, plunder the gold. It'll all be, they'll be wiped out. This is the promise of the Lord in these verses. So highlight that one, because if you ever doubt that this is going to happen to them, go and remind yourself from Zephaniah 1:13 through 16. Their day of wrath and distress and anguish, trouble and ruin. And it's not for us. That's where the modern interpretations have gone wrong. It's about those who worship Baal and Moloch. Again, you can't take this out of context. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Satan worshipers. All right. So now, number 9, read Zephaniah 1:17 through 18 and list some of the ways the Lord is taunting the New World Order. Why might the Lord be taking so long with his judgment of these evildoers?
I will bring such distress on men that they will walk like blind men because they have sinned against Yahweh. Their blood will be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to deliver them in the day of Yahweh's wrath. But the whole land will be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he will make an end, yes, a terrible end, of all those who dwell in the land.
Yes, they thought, as it said here, that their silver or gold and their gold would save them. They've been able to escape because they controlled the judges, they controlled everything, all the politicians, they controlled everything. But their gold and their silver will not be able to deliver them in this day. Yes, and the whole land will be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. This is talking about, you know, everyone is having to go through this. Everyone is having to, what is going on? The Lord is clearly removing them from the face of the earth. But when this all really bubbles up to the surface and everyone realizes these people are going to be arrested, which may very well be soon with all this, you know, the National Guard being brought into the seat of power in Washington, D.C., as I said the other day, after 30 days, if Congress does not extend President Trump's ability to have National Guard in Washington, D.C., he can very easily sign a state of emergency and continue it and more and bring in federalized National Guard troops. He can bring out the military into all these cities, you know, and on those purposes, and then at the same time arrest these criminals all over the country. This is going to, it'll be a shock to everyone, what's going on. And this is what he's talking about. The Lord is working through all these white hats to remove the evildoers from this earth. And it says of his jealousy, the jealousy is, these are my people, and you are hurting them, and to be faithful to the Lord is to do good to the people. To do good to, you know, and not to harm the people. And that he's jealous that they would worship Satan instead of worshiping him, would do worship evil instead of, you know, worshiping the Lord who is good. Okay? So that's when you see about the jealousy. Think about it that way. The Lord says, I'm the one who created you. I'm the one that you should follow and not following the evildoers. All right. And so he says he'll make a terrible end of all those who dwell in the land. Is it talking about every man, woman, and child, Tammy?
No.
Right. So it's obviously talking about the Baal worshippers. Do you have something to add?
Right. Well, the thing that I was coming to mind is I think we're slowly getting conditioned that it's going to happen, even with this 30-day wait on the National Guard. As people can't take these things all at once, these suddenlies are going to be big, but we're slowly seeing more and more people get nervous that their number's up. And and so it just, we're still on the edge of our seat.
Yes, and it's giving people the opportunity to have these conversations. I was just talking with a dear friend of mine yesterday who had lived in a place where the military was in the streets and arresting people who were innocent. And so it scares her. And I tried to explain to her what is happening now is not that. It's not that. And we've already seen this happen in Saudi Arabia, that the evildoers were arrested. They went under, you know, the military law, martial law, and they arrested the ones who were doing the evil. And now Saudi Arabia has been, you know, set at peace, and because the bad ones are gone. So I'm not saying completely. I don't know the whole full status of Saudi Arabia. But the point is, when this happens, it's not like what she had seen in her country where the righteous were arrested. Okay? So anyway, that's very important. Thank you for that, bringing up that point too. And just remember, it's talking about the Lord is going to make a terrifying end of the evildoers, the Baal worshipers, not us. I think that's one of the reasons also we didn't read the book of Zephaniah because it was kind of scary. We're like, okay, am I in trouble? Am I going to, you know, I don't want to think about that. Well, we've got to face what is the truth about it. And so the wonderful truth is he's not mad at us. He's mad at Satan worshipers. All right. So what's the Lord talking about when he says nation in Zephaniah 2:1?
Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, you nation that has no shame.
All right. So this is the... Go ahead. You want to answer it?
Oh, the ones who have no shame, the cabal, the new world, the evil ones. They
Right.
absolutely have no, they look right into a camera and tell you a complete lie and
Yep.
smile.
Yep. So, and it says nation. It's very important that we understand the terminology and in context, what is nation in this passage? And so nation is a term for a collection of people. Okay? So it's don't think of Italy or France or a nation like America or whatever. This is that's where again, that's where some people have misinterpreted these passages, and they've also misinterpreted them intentionally. Some of the ones who read who led the seminaries were told to teach it this way, and some of them knew that they were teaching it wrong. Some of them didn't. Either way, it's very important when we're reading, we understand what it's talking about as far as this nation. You know how the Bible calls us a holy nation, that our allegiance as a holy nation is to the Lord, and it surpasses your nation on earth, America. I have allegiance to America, but I have an allegiance to the Lord, right? As in that holy nation. I belong to two nations. I belong to the nation of America. I belong to the Lord's nation as the holy nation. But they belong to an evil nation, okay? And the word not nation is actually Nazis. How about that? So that's what he's talking about. He's saying this evil nation, gather yourselves together, gather you nation that has no shame. Okay, so I just want to make sure that as you're reading, that you know how to kind of decode it and decipher it. All right, number 11, who is the Lord really talking about when he is telling them that what they need to do, and what is he telling them they need to do in Zephaniah 2:2, rather than what we have been led to believe in some churches?
Before the appointed time, and when the day passes as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yahweh comes on you, before the day of Yahweh's anger comes on you.
Yes. All right. Did we write that? I guess that's. Did we write that down twice? I guess that's the way it's written. It's very interesting way it's written. Okay. Okay. So he's talking about the evil mafia cabal. All right. And he's talking about that he. They said, as I said before, they said, they made us think that it was against us, that the Lord was angry with us. Get ready because God, you're in trouble with God. And how can you feel close to God if you feel like I've repented and but God's still angry? No, that's not true. The Lord has forgiven you, and as long as you've repented and you've turned to Him and you're walking with Him by faith, He's very, very pleased with you. And He says you stand blameless in His sight and you're perfect in His sight. So He's not angry with you. Clearly, this is talking about His anger toward the evildoers, the Satan worshipers. Okay? All right. I think that's it. Is there anything else you want to add with that to that one? Okay. Super important because these passages can scare you a little bit. All right. The cities named in Zephaniah 2, 3 through 6 below historically fought against God's people to destroy them. In our day, who is this message against? Now, before she reads this, I want to clarify. People have pulled up this passage, and I've literally heard people recite this passage to say the Lord is angry with the Gazans. Literally, they're saying that. They've used this passage, some of them knowingly, some of them maybe unknowingly, and he's saying, they're saying, oh, see, God is angry with the people of Gaza. I'm like, seriously? Is that's your exegesis of this passage? It's very frustrating to me. Very frustrating to me that they would use God's word to condemn an entire group of people. When clearly this is talking about the Canaanites back in the day. The Canaanite people, as you know, we've talked about this many times before, they worshiped Satan. They were cannibals. They did child sacrifice. This was what they did. This is why the Lord said, you must eradicate the entire group and not marry in. Like last week we talked about Malachi, they had ended up marrying into these with these women, and it had led them to do just like the Lord said would happen, that led them to do the Baal worship and all that. And so this is who it's talking about in context, in the day, not the people who live there now. It makes me crazy. Go ahead.
Okay. Seek Yahweh, all you humble of the land who have kept his ordinances. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of Yahweh's anger. For Gaza will be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They will drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron will be rooted up. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. Yahweh's word is against you, Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will destroy you until there is no inhabitant. The seacoast will be pastures with cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks.
All right. Okay, everybody put it in the chat. Who is this talking about? Is it? It's not talking about the people who live there now. It's talking about back in the day, those who lived in Gaza, those who lived in Ashkelon, those who lived in Ashdod, those who lived in Ekron were all Canaanites. The Cherethites, all these people. You've heard it, you've read it so many times. The Hivites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites and all these ites who lived in the land of Canaan were Baal worshipers. That's why the Lord said to drive them out, and he's going to drive them out in this day, right? So this is, it's clearly talking about that. So if you hear someone saying that or you see it on social media, please correct them and say this was the ancient civilizations were Baal worshipers, but the current ones are not. They are not Baal worshipers. It's actually flipped, but anyway, that's another story. Okay. So does anyone have anything else to add to that, Miss Tammy? Do you have something else you want to add?
No.
No inhabitant left. Go ahead.
No, I was just reading comments, so no, we're good.
Okay. Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you, Marge Mosley. I'm so glad. I'm so happy. You know what? The truth sets us free. The truth sets us free, and you know, we can be in terrible fear, and then we read the Lord's word, and all of a sudden we're like, "This is, you know, this is all part of His plan, and He's setting us free." It makes us filled with joy instead of fear. All right, so thank you guys because of that. That's why I continue doing the videos, and I'm very, very happy. I love doing the videos. I love getting to do these studies, and I'm just excited about what the Lord is going to do in the future to help more people understand the truth. So please keep sharing. It really helps people to come out of the fear. Okay, number 13, what is the Lord promising his people in Zephaniah 2, verse 7?
The coast will be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They will find pasture. In the houses of Ashkelon, they will lie down in the evening, for Yahweh, their God, will visit them and restore them.
Right. Okay. Well, there are people who are going to recite this and say, see, that right there tells you that the Jews deserve this land on the coast. They deserve the coast where the Gaza Strip is. That's not what it's talking about. That's not the explanation and interpretation of this passage. That's not what it's talking about. Because the Lord is really between the righteous and the wicked. That's really the only way that you really have to look at it. He's saying here that this coast will be for the remnant of the house of Israel. They'll find pasture. It's talking about the righteous. Wherever you live, you'll find pasture. You'll find peace away from these evildoers. In the houses of Ashkelon, they will lie down in the evening, for Yahweh, their God, will visit them and restore them. Praise the Lord. He's going to restore us, all the righteous, throughout the world. I love how he does that. In the middle of he's talking about, I'm going to destroy them, but you, not you. I'm not going to destroy you. I'm going to rescue you, okay? And we'll have everything they took from us. He's restoring our property. He's restoring our peace of mind. He's restoring our world, okay? He's reminding us of that all the time. All right. Anything else, Miss Tammy?
Just that the righteous can be people that you disagree with. Amen. They're still righteous.
Right.
You know, good versus evil.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Our only enemy is the Satan worshipers.
Right.
Everybody else, and I was I just had a did a video with Mike Lindell. I'm going to post that hopefully today, maybe tomorrow. Anyway, he was talking about, you know, that there was this one guy that he was, you know, trying to explain, you know, you're a fact checker on Facebook, and you're leading the people to astray. But the man's not evil. The man was brainwashed. And Mike said that. He said the guy was just brainwashed. He didn't realize that what he was telling was not true. So he was just being used. And now they've started doing their fact checking by AI because they don't want someone to start thinking for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So yeah, it's a very, very good point. Very good point. You know, the people that you disagree with are most likely not Satan worshipers, right? hopefully you don't know any. Anyway, in Zephaniah 2:9, what does the comparison to Sodom and Gomorrah indicate will happen? Mm-hmm.
Therefore, as I live, says Yahweh of armies, the God of Israel, surely Moab will be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, a possession of nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The remnant of my people will plunder them, and the survivors of my nation will inherit them. I think we, did we miss 14?
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, we can go. Let's go ahead and do this one since you just read it. Okay, so yeah. About to Sodom and Gomorrah.
All of a sudden, I felt like we went too fast.
Thank you. I didn't see that. Okay, so everybody, even to this day, still talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were doing this very same type of evil, okay? And just, there was no law and order. I mean, you took your life in your hands if you it went anywhere near that. Kind of like... What I just posted that video. No, I didn't even post it. It was so horrible. This person was shot on doing a live stream in Chicago. It was horrible. I didn't even share it because it's too horrible. But, you know, you can't even walk the streets in Chicago. It's become so evil. And that's exactly what had happened because the evildoers took over Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord had to destroy it completely because it would just be so dangerous for the people. It had to be wiped out. Everybody there was doing all this evil. And so it says, like a possession of nettles and salt pits, a perpetual desolation. And I really do think, if I've heard that the Red Sea, not the Red Sea, the Dead Sea is actually what used to be Sodom and Gomorrah. The salt pits, and it just became, you know, the Dead Sea. So, yeah, but everybody knows it was completely obliterated. And the remnant of my people will plunder them. We are the remnant. We are the scattered remnants. I didn't used to understand what that meant, but if you make a dress and you cut out the dress and then you have all these little pieces left over, those are the remnants, and we were scattered all over the world, and they think, oh, they're just a bunch of, you know, nobodies. Well, they're learning now the Lord loves us, and he is working through us, and we're all plundering them. they thought that they had us down for the count, but they don't. They thought wrong. The Lord was able to awaken us like that, and even if we haven't been having, you know, what they would think of as power, because we've joined forces, because we've joined together all over the world, we're a scrappy bunch, and we are taking them down. It's a beautiful thing. We will plunder them, and the survivors of my nation will inherit them. It's a beautiful thing. All right. So now, they're saying that these same ones they're going to end up like Sodom and Gomorrah. All right. All right. So backwards we go. Instead of onwards, we go backwards. What about the Moabites and the Ammonites? Remember I was talking about all the ites in Zephaniah 2:8.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the insults of the children of Ammon, with which they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border.
Right.
They are the demon worshippers.
Right. But not the people who live there now.
No.
Right. So the modern day Ammon, I think, is in Damascus. Wherever it is, Jordan, wherever it is, it's not about that particular people. And so don't let anyone fool you into thinking that it's about that. He's using these names to draw to mind, because people back in the day knew the people of Ammon. They knew the Moabites. There's a really great video you can find. Maybe you find it on YouTube. I haven't seen it in a long time, but about Ruth. And she was raised in Moab. And she was you know, they did child sacrifice. The video talks about that, and that she wanted to go back with Naomi. She wanted to be part of their family because she didn't want to be part of this evil society. So anyway, the Moabites were big on child sacrifice. All right. Who is the remnant of my people and who will plunder them? And so that I just explained that, right?
Right. Yeah.
All right. So number 17, who are the nations referred to in Zephaniah 2, 10 through 11?
This they will have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of Yahweh of armies. Yahweh will be awesome to them, for he will famish all the gods of the land. Men will worship him, everyone from his place, all the shores of the nations.
Yes. All right. So, yeah, here again, it's talking about that we will, as it says, the Lord will, nation won't rise against nation, and neither will they train for war anymore. In the golden age, this is what's going to happen. We will famish the gods of the land. Men will worship them, everyone in his place, even all the shores of the nations. So I had written in here, nations refers to the righteous in this passage. Okay, that's where it's so, it can get confusing, and you have to look at the context. Here it's just like it says, as in that verse, nation will not rise against nation. There it's literally talking about the righteous nations in the golden age. There will be nations. We'll have separate borders as we, you know, as we currently have, and we won't rise against each other. And so the Lord is saying everyone will worship the Lord from their nation. Okay. So it's very important that you just read the word in context. And so there it is talking about literal nations like we normally think of. That's why I wanted to bring that up and clarify that. All right. Anything else to add on that?
No.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So now Zephaniah 2, 2 through 15, and Revelation 18, 2 through 3 below, we're going to read those. What is the Lord saying in both passages about what will happen to the enemies of the Lord, and how will we be publicly vindicated? Okay. So both of these is where it's the fall of this group, and they've just become a habitation of evil. Okay, you're going to see the connection between Zephaniah 2 and Revelation 18, and everybody in the world has to know these people are just pure evil. And so it's using some literary language in both of these. They're very, very similar.
Okay, so you Cushites also, you will be killed by my sword. He will stretch out his hand against the north, destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation, as dry as the wilderness. Herds will lie down in the middle of her, all kinds of animals. Both the pelican and the porcupine will lodge in its capitals. Their calls will echo through the windows. Desolation will be in the thresholds, for he has laid bare the cedar beams. This is a joyous city that lived carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. How she has become a desolation, a place for animals to lie down in. Everyone who passes by her will hiss and shake their fist.
Right.
And then in Revelation, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a habitation of demons, a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her sexual immorality. The kings of the earth committed sexual immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from the abundance of her luxury.
All right. So I hope you caught it, that in both of these passages, in Zephaniah 2 and Revelation 18, it's talking about that their whole place has just become an abject evil because of what they've done. You can't even live there. And I mean, really, that's what we're witnessing with what President Trump is saying. Because of the way these evildoers have run these cities, you can't even walk the streets. It's become so dangerous. It's become, you know, and the people are really happy in D.C. because they can actually walk around now. And so they're very, very happy about that. It says, you know, her in Zephaniah 2, their land is like a desolation, a wilderness. There's nothing that, you know, all these homeless encampments. I mean, the whole thing is just, it's filthy. It's run like mayhem, you know, like a pack of dogs running in the street, shooting people. I mean, the whole thing is where it's untenable. No one can live there. Herds will lie down in the middle, all kinds of animals, the pelican, the porcupine lodge in its capitals. I mean, can you imagine? You're, you know, at a fancy building, and you got the animals have come in and have taken over, right? That's what it's talking about. They've a desolation, you know, animals are lying down in them. It's just where there's no law and order, okay? And so everyone who passes by her will hiss and shake their fists. This is how we will be publicly vindicated, because we're all going like, these are the ones. These are the ones who've done all this evil, and we're shaking our fists at them like, get rid of these evildoers. And so the same thing happens in Revelation 18. It's talking about how she's, you know, they've become a habitation for demons. You think this is a, you know, oh, before you go to D.C., you're like, oh, this is so nice. But you realize now it's been a habitation for demons. A prison for every unclean spirit. A prison for every unclean and hated bird. It's a poetic way of saying just demonic from top to bottom, okay? And if you remember, it says here, it says, oh, I'm saying in my heart, I'm here, I am, and there's no one besides me. It sounds like that passage in Revelation, I think it's 17. It says, yeah, I'm a queen on my throne. I have no reason to mourn, right? This is the same attitude that they have. No one can touch me, all this, you know, because, you know, we're in complete power. And they're going to find out soon that's not the case. All right, so this is, they're going to be fallen and fallen. All right, anything else to add to that, everybody?
Yeah, and I would just quickly say, too, they've taken the compassion of the people who, from that whole movement of no one should be hungry, let's feed the poor, the Bible says to take care of these people and the immigrants and all that, and they've got them so brainwashed that it's okay that internally to not do the laws, to get take them out of jails, to do all these things, and they're doing the work for them.
Right.
Of destroying us.
And they're and they just think they're brainwashed. I know.
Yes. They think they're doing good.
I know. Yep. They're just brainwashed. Okay. Exactly. I agree. All right. So number 19, everybody with us? Number 19. I hope you guys have done your homework. And oh gosh, that one needs to be removed. I'm going to remove. Thank you. Someone already removed that one. Thank you so much. Whoever removed that. That was a very ugly comment about Trump. We're not putting up with that. We're not going to have our place filled with, what does it say up here? The habitation for demons. And we're keeping our place clean as a whistle. We're not going to have ugly stuff over here on our channel. No pelicans and porcupines in our capitals. All right. So number 19, how does Zephaniah himself feel about these evil ones? And again, remember, Zephaniah is just like us. He's like, these people are evil. We've got to get rid of them. Okay, so he talks about them just like we talk about the New World Order. Okay, go, Miss Tammy.
Okay, woe to her who is rebellious and polluted the oppressing city. She didn't obey the voice. She didn't receive correction. She didn't trust in Yahweh. She didn't draw near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They leave nothing until the next day. Her prophets are arrogant and treacherous people. Her priests have profaned the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law.
Right. That's exactly what we say. I mean, we could just change the words a little bit, and it's just exactly what we say about the New World Order. They don't follow the law. They believe they're, they don't have to obey the law. The judges are evening wolves. The judges will just, you know, they're lawless, and they leave nothing until the next day. They just what that it's a picture of is where they just tear people to bits and take all of their everything from them, and the people are left penniless without anything in the courts. The prophets are arrogant and treacherous people. Unfortunately, the priests have profaned the sanctuary. I don't even want to talk about what we've found out has gone on in some of these, you know, with these priests, right? They've profaned the precious, precious little ones. They've done violence to the law. They've violated what's right and wrong. And these are the people who are supposed to be leading people to do right, right? So, question number 20, who are some of these evildoers of this day? Of course, as we were
fake
talking about,
leaders, yeah. Fake judges.
Yep.
Those who thwart false prophets, who use God's house to abuse the people's trust by working against them.
Right.
Just
Right.
Media, they're all
right.
Some
it's
of
the same,
evil
same thing. So Zephaniah was fighting the same people. And so he was standing up. Basically, this was the social media of the day. He's a prophet and he wrote this. And he was, you know, put in danger. A lot of these prophets were killed because they would call out the powers that be. So this is basically Zephaniah is saying the same things that we are saying. All right. So now, what is the Lord reminding us of in Zephaniah 3, 5 through 8?
Yahweh within her is righteous. He will do no wrong. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He doesn't fail, but the unjust know no shame. I have cut off nations. Their battlements are desolate. I have made their streets waste so that no one passes by. Their cities are destroyed so that there is no man, so that there is no inhabitant. I said, just fear me, receive correction, so that her dwelling won't be cut off, according to all that I have appointed concerning her. But they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore, wait for me, says Yahweh, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth will be devoured with the fire of my jealousy.
There you go. Thank you so much, Tammy. So yeah, this is, they won't receive correction. He says, just fear me, verse 7, just fear me. Receive the correction so you won't be cut off. You can be forgiven if you just, you know, but they won't. They refuse. They just rise up early, and they corrupted all their doings every day, and it never stops. I mean, just like these, we found out about the intel community. They're still lying about President Trump to this day. They're continuing the coup. It's like they can't stop cooing. All right, but here in verse 8, it says, therefore, wait for me. Wait for me. I will rise up to the prey. I will rise up and destroy them. I am determined to gather the nations. Again, this case, in this context, is not talking about nations like Italy and France. It's talking about this evil nation, to gather this group of evildoers that is spread all over the world, but they have an allegiance to each other and to the demons. Okay? We have an allegiance to the Lord. They have an allegiance to the demons. The Lord says, I'm going to bring them down. I'm determined to gather them, assemble them, and pour out my indignation on them. Right? Y'all want to put this one on your fridge too? My fierce anger, for all the earth will be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. I'm jealous that they should have worshipped me. They worshipped Satan instead. All right. So that's what the Lord is reminding us of. In the middle of all this, you hear about these evening wolves. You hear about how evil they are. He's reminding us, just be patient, wait, and I'm going to devour them. I will remove them from the earth. It's been a long time, but we're so blessed to live in this day because it's happening in our day. So, so thankful. All right, number 22.
So who is ready to hear about the beautiful days that are ahead?
Me.
And the next passage, yeah, Zephaniah 3, 9 through 12. Finally, the Lord gives us hope of a better day that is coming. He reminds us that his people were scattered, and many of us are from those scattered lost tribes. Others of us who have been grafted into God's family. Other of us have been. What is the Lord doing so all of us as one big family can worship together, whether we are Christian or Jewish or Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or even atheist? For then I will purify the lips of the people, that they may all call on Yahweh's name to serve him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers, even the daughters of my dispersed people, will bring my offering. And that day you will not be disappointed for all your doings in which you have transgressed against me. For then I will take away from among you your proudly exulting ones, and you will no longer be arrogant in my holy mountain. But I will leave among you an afflicted and poor people, and they will take refuge in Yahweh's name.
Yes. All right. So I'm going to just read it from here. What is he doing? How are we going to all come together all throughout the world? And this is the thing. Our Lord Jesus is the King of everyone. And many people have been deceived and don't understand who Jesus is and what he has done. But he is the King and he loves everyone. He's saving everyone. And so he's going to bring everyone together, and they're all, in my strong opinion, it's going to be that everyone will recognize him as their Messiah, because every one of these religions, the Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Christians, everyone is waiting on a Messiah. And they will all recognize that he's the one. He is their Messiah that they have been waiting for and longing for. And then he will bring everyone together. It's just like what's happened with, you know, with me, and I'm sure with you. You know, I had a different understanding about end times, and I began to say, okay, Lord, teach me, help me to understand what have I misunderstood? And we've all been misled. Everyone's been deceived, tricked, misled on one thing or 10 or more. And so the Lord is very able to get everybody into alignment with him. And so that's what he's going to do, is I will purify the lips of the peoples. That's, okay, what is the lips? Is the where you speak. And, you know, I used to speak things that were not true about end times. You know, I didn't really do a lot of teaching about end times, but the things that I did say, my lips needed purifying. I needed to be corrected on end times. And so the Lord has corrected that. He's going to correct everyone, you know, everyone coming into alignment with him. And we will call on Yahweh's name and we'll serve him shoulder to shoulder. That means all the Christians. Oh, can you imagine? Won't that be wonderful, you guys? The Christians will all come together. Amazing as that. And then the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Jews all coming together. Now, again, we're talking about the true Jews, not the ones who are the fake Jews, as it talks about in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9, who've taken that name but are not really true Jews. All right, so he says, from beyond the rivers of Cush, even the daughter of my dispersed people. All the dispersion, remember I was talking about the dispersion, the scrappy, all the little remnants have been scattered all over the world, that we will come together. And we're seeing that even now. People all over the world are fighting shoulder to shoulder against the evil ones and putting down their disagreements, their differences about 10 different things. They're like, okay, that's not important right now. Can we just get rid of the evildoers? Okay, that is what is happening. And it says, in that day, you won't be disappointed for all your doings in which you've transgressed me. In other words, we're going to realize, okay, yeah, we made some mistakes, but the Lord wasn't angry with us. He's angry with the evildoers, right? The Satan worshipers. So we will, we'll know that the Lord has forgiven us and he's going to straighten out any differences. You know, I know the Lord's not angry with me for teaching about some things that were not true. I didn't do it on purpose, right? I was just, I didn't understand, right? Then the Lord is very, very gracious and patient. And he says, and then I will take away from among you the proud and exulting ones. The proudly exulting ones. The ones who refuse to humble themselves before the Lord to obey him. The Lord will remove all those people. That's just basically the Satan worshipers. You know, we've all have pride and whatever. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the ones who refuse to obey him. Refuse to submit to him, no matter what he has said or threatened. They refuse. And so, and there will be no more arrogant in my holy mountain. The holy mountain is not just in the Middle East. It's the whole world. Remember how it says then the whole world became this huge mountain? Remember when the stone struck the Nebuchadnezzar statue and the whole world became this huge mountain of the Lord? That's the holy mountain he's talking about. The whole world will not be any arrogant people who hate God and worship Satan. And then the last verse says, I will leave among you an afflicted and poor people, and they'll take refuge in Yahweh's name. What this was, don't think of, you know, think of afflicted and poor as the attitude of the heart, that we are poor in spirit, humble ourselves, and we humble ourselves before the Lord. That's what it's talking about, that all the people on the earth will be humble and love the Lord and love each other and want everyone to be treated fairly. How do you like that passage? Isn't that a great passage right there in Zephaniah 3:11-12? The arrogant evildoers, the wicked, will be gone, From the whole entire Holy Mountain, there you can't find one of these people. It says you will look for your enemies and you will not be able to find them. But he will leave the humble, those who take refuge in Yahweh's name, those who submit to the Yahweh, to the Lord and his word. Won't that be wonderful?
Every knee will bow. Those are the ones. Every knee. Yes.
Yay. And it says, so even those under the earth, okay, but they're going to be under the earth, so they can't come out and bother us. But yeah, so we will all be in this beautiful golden age. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. I'm loving writing my new book, The Golden Age. I hope you guys are going to love that one. All right, so, and a lot of people who maybe are scared of end times, I'm hoping that they will not be scared to read that one. All right, so now question 23. What are some more of the Lord's promises we have to look forward to in Zephaniah 3, 13 through 17?
The remnant of Israel will not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they will feed and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. Sing, daughter of Zion, shout, Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter of Jerusalem. Yahweh has taken away your judgments. He has thrown out your enemy. The King of Israel, Yahweh, is among you. You will not be afraid of evil anymore. In that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, don't be afraid, Zion. Don't let your hands be weak. Yahweh, your God, is among you, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will calm you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing.
That's our verse right there. We finally got to the verse that we love. 3, 16 and 17. Don't be afraid. Don't let your hands be weak. The Lord is among you, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will calm all your fears in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I love that passage. Oh, that's one for the fridge. Okay, that's really the best one for the fridge.
The fridge is covered.
Right. All right, so it says this remnant, the little scraps that have been scattered all over the world, no one will do iniquity. No one will speak lies. No one will have a deceitful tongue to trick people. No more spam. No more, what do you call it, where people trying to trick us out of our money? Mm-hmm. Nobody. They will feed and then lie down and no one will make them afraid. Isn't that amazing? Sing and rejoice. Yeah. Israel. Israel is God's, the people who love God all over the world. As I've been talking about this whole passage in Zephaniah chapter 3, clearly, it's talking about those who love God. Now, there are some who take this passage and say it's just about this little town, little group in the Middle East who live in what we call Israel. That is not the correct interpretation of this passage. There are many who do that, and that's not a correct interpretation. Those who are Israel are of the same faith as Abraham. Those are the true Jews, the same ones who have the same faith as Abraham. What faith did Abraham have? He believed God. He trusted in God. He loved God. That is what makes you a true Israelite. Thankfully, the Lord does not judge us as to whether we have all of our T's crossed and our I's dotted and have all of our doctrine straight, or none of us would get in. None of us would be considered an Israelite. He looks at the heart. Those who are of the same faith as Abraham are the children of Abraham. I love that passage right there. Love it. All right. So sometimes we see through a glass dimly, like in 1 Corinthians 13. Remember that? The passage that says, then we'll see face to face. Then things will be clear. Allow your faith to expand. Allow your faith to expand and imagine what the golden age, like I said, I love writing my book about the golden age, and it's really helped me to expand my thinking. I'm looking at the golden age of justice, the golden age of truth, the golden age of freedom, the golden age of peace, and I've seen verses all over God's word about how this is just going to be so beautiful, and let's expand our thinking to realize that God is going to bring everyone together, the golden age of faith. People all over the world worshiping the Lord Jesus. Like Tammy said, then every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. Ask the Lord to continually give you spiritual insight and eyesight. Now, remember, as we talked about before, if you're having difficulties with relationships, remember Many of them are brainwashed. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. All right, so now the last passage that we're going to do is Zephaniah 3, 18 through 20. All right, so go ahead, Miss Tammy, you ready?
Okay, I will remove those who grieve about the appointed feast from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all those who afflict you, and I will save those who are lame and gather those who are driven away, were driven away. I will give them praise and honor, whose shame has been in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you in, and at that time, I will gather you. For I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says Yahweh.
Amen. He's going to do this. Another one for the fridge, right? Okay. He says, I will give you praise and honor even though you've been put to shame. All the things that have happened to us, all the struggles that we've had, all the things that they've done to us, you know, just we don't even need to go into it. All the things that they've done to humanity and people all over the world, that will end. No more shame. No more shame. Everyone will have praise and honor. How about that? I will gather you, the people of God, all over the world. Honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth. I'll restore your fortunes before your very eyes. And we're getting to a front row seat to see all that. All right. So the last thing I was going to say in this chapter is let's also read Isaiah 64:4. This beautiful time, this beautiful future, it's everywhere throughout the Bible. And we'll also read Zephaniah 3:7. For from of old men have heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who works for him, who waits for him. Isn't that awesome? We are waiting on the Lord for his perfect timing to see all this come to fruition. No doubt about it. The Lord is going to set us free from our enemies. And then, as Marge was saying earlier, I saw her say that one of her favorite verses is, we'll look for our enemies and we will not be able to find them. I mean, how many times have I quoted that? Oh, cannot wait. And then Zephaniah 3, Yahweh, your God, is among you. Yahweh, your God, is among you. A mighty one, too, who will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will calm you in his love, he'll rejoice over you with singing. Yay! I love it. I love that Zephaniah ends up on a great, great note that we are have such a joy, such a beautiful future to look forward to. And he loves us. He really, really does. He's rescuing us. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we praise you. We praise you. Thank you for Zephaniah and how courageous he was. Thank you for the word that he wrote all those years ago that we get to see. Because he was so courageous to write this down that we get to read it to this day and see how you're fulfilling it in our day to remove these evildoers. The same ones that were there then are here now, and all that they've done to us, to humanity. But soon, there'll be no more shame. Soon, you will bring everyone together, and then we will all worship you. And you will bring us together shoulder to shoulder. And we're seeing that even now as you have brought us together as the Freedom Force Battalion and as patriots all over the world who are fighting shoulder to shoulder against the evildoers, realizing that whatever differences of opinion we might have on other things, we know that you want us to cast out these evildoers and expose them for their evil. Thank you, Lord, for all that's happening in this world, how hard President Trump is fighting to stop the wars and to expose these evildoers. Thank you for DNI Tulsi Gabbard, how hard she's working to expose these evildoers and what they've done as far as a treason, literal treason against our country. Lord, we've got a big job to do. Give us the strength to do it, to help to expose this and help everyone to understand what's really going on, because there's still so much brainwashing that is going on. So Lord, be with us, strengthen us for the task, help us to be your mouthpiece on this earth to expose the truth, because you said the truth will set us free. And thank you that you rejoice over us with these joyful songs. Thank you for that you will calm all our fears. We thank you that you are the King of the world, and that you're our friend, and that you're also the King that everyone will recognize. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, guys, I love you. I'm so glad we got together. If you guys don't have the books yet, go to this chat. I'll pop the link right over there right now, so you can catch up and do the homework, that's when you really do learn, is when you dig in. Okay, it's great to watch the videos, but it's also super important that you do the homework yourself, and that helps you to remember all these things, and it really locks it into your mind. The other thing is, don't forget to join me over on my X account if you possibly can. Thank you so much for sharing all this, all the posts. I really appreciate it. We've been growing now. We've over doubled, then doubled in the past, what was it, 6 weeks ago, because of you know, all you guys are doing to help us. I just posted this yesterday that you might want to see. It's already gotten 40,000 views on it, so I'll pop that link in there. I'm really thankful for that, and it's helping people to see how this is biblical. That particular post right there is not specifically about how it's biblical, but it is helping others to see, hey, what is, you know, what Hugh was talking about when he talked about this being biblical on our channel. All right, and also don't forget to go on our health page. Everyone, take care of your health. And these are wonderful, true treatments that I have discovered, and so I want you to check this out. I still hear about people saying that they don't know where to find the information. It's right here on freedomforce.live/health, and you can read about detoxing. You can read about getting the nutrients in your system. You can read about how this solution, a silver solution, helps you with, it's a true antibiotic that doesn't harm you. It only helps you to remove bacteria, mold, and fungus. The truth about methylene blue, check out the freedomforce.live/blue page, because that really tells the truth about it. There's a lot of misinformation about that, and also about chlorine dioxide, wonderful ways to get chlorine dioxide in your system. Anyway, check all that out. I'll put that link over on the chat, and I'll be over in the chat visiting with you guys for a little bit. And that's it. Anything else, Miss Tammy?
And I just want to add, the Lord's timing is perfect. So when we start getting upset, just remember that it is all happening, and it's down to the minute. Exactly. He's got it.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you for that word. I agree 1,000%. We trust him and his perfect timing in all of this. All right. I love you guys. I'm so thankful for you, each and every one of you. I'm so thankful that we are here together. And I will see you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central for our Sunday morning video. And I will talk to you later. Yeah.